seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 37 and the 23rd verse. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. This is a psalm of dear David's, and throughout it he speaks of so much of the Lord's dear people, the righteous, and those that know and fear the Lord. But too, he speaks of the solemn state of the wicked. And the warnings concerning being among them. But this word in our text seemed to rest upon me much concerning the service here today. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I know what some will immediately say, and that is, well then that excludes me because I don't feel to be a good man or a good woman or a good child. But poor soul, the goodness is not in you. It wasn't in David. The Lord wonderfully taught dear David that he was a poor, wretched, vile, helpless sinner, and that there was no goodness in him. How then could he be good? The goodness in him was what God had given him. And the goodness that he had flowed from God. It wasn't in himself. And the more we are taught of ourselves and how vile and poor and helpless we are, the more we shall look to the Lord to grant us those things that are good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And really, this is a wonderful word to every one of the Lord's dear children. And what a mercy it is when we can feel and know that they are ordered by him. It's not in man to order his steps. The Lord will order the steps of his dear people. And nothing comes by chance, you say. Well, I want to look at this in a few ways as we may be helped. Firstly, the steps of this good man, or this good woman, or this good child. Firstly, the steps of providence. You know, you can look back and often see how in even the steps of providence, the Lord has wonderfully ordered them. You think in the characters in God's word. Well, think of David. How wonderfully the Lord ordered his steps, even in providence. And this seemed very sweet to me, not only in providence, but in grace. He orders the steps of his dear people. And as we look back over the years, we can think of, and there are times, you know, when we do, we think back of the steps that we've been enabled to venture in and how the Lord wonderfully ordered them. All in his hand, you see, not in ours. We may plan this for our life and that, and one was only thinking yesterday in talking to one of the Lord's dear servants of how we were in our early days. And we thought we would go into sport and this and that and something else. But you know, the Lord ordered it to turn it all upside down and stamp death on it all. And ordered us into the steps of his dear people. And through, even into the ministry. And one often looks back on this occasion because it was 54 years ago today I preached the first time. The second Sunday in February, 1966. And we think how wonderfully the Lord ordered that. And then the steps of providence since and the steps of grace, all ordered by him. And there may be things you're in today and you want to, you dear young ones, you watch the Lord's hand, how he orders it. We often plan and scheme, don't we? But you know, we think we will do this or do that. But the Lord orders the steps of his dear people. It's been with me, so I will name it. You think of dear Joseph in the Word of God, how the Lord ordered his steps, not only in providence but in grace. You look at those four places really he came into, where the Lord ordered it. Firstly, it was all ordered, though it seemed absolutely contrary to Father Israel, because he thought so much of Joseph. And really, there's a lesson there, you know, we need to be very careful that we don't make too much of one of our children above another. There's no doubt Father Israel made much of Joseph. And there were many reasons why, which we can well understand. But, you see, it caused a lot of friction and trouble with his brothers. But this was all in the purposes of heaven. And what did they do to him? They sold him down into Egypt. He was to first go into the pit. The Lord ordered it. And it was a solemn searching place for Joseph to come into, wasn't it? Into the pit. You think of David, what does he say? He knew what it was spiritually to go into the pit. Because of his sin, because of his backslidings and wanderings from the Lord, he was a poor sinner just like you and me. And so was Joseph. But what did David say? He brought me up out of a horrible pit. and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. You know, it's hard for the sinner when they're cast into the pit. And because of our sin, under God's holy law, he often brings the sinner to feel they're in the pit and they cannot get themselves out. You think of the threats that Joseph received from his brethren. They were Joseph haters and they were Joseph murderers. They wanted to destroy him. And if you got a real religion, that's what Satan will try and do, poor soul. He'll try and destroy it. And he won't spare the means. But you know, the Lord knew where he was in that pit. And the Lord was to bring Joseph up out of it. And you, those of you that may feel to be in the pit today, you cannot raise yourself up. You cannot bring yourself up out of it. It was a step he had to go into. And it was a step that wasn't pleasing to the flesh, wasn't it? There was a lot that was to be crucified in Joseph, and so there is in you, and so there is in me. And we have to come into the pit to lose a lot, don't we? But the Lord was to order it that he must come up out of it. And the Lord was to bring him up out. But then he was to go into the second place, which had the beginning with the letter P. Potiphar's house. As soon as he arrives in Egypt, he goes into Potiphar's house. And he wasn't there by chance. It was all ordered. But you look how Satan still in Potiphar's house tries to destroy him. And the bitter temptations that dear Joseph had to endure there from Potiphar's wife. But you look how the Lord ordered it. It was all ordered by him. It was a step he had to go into. And what did he learn? That he couldn't keep himself, but the Lord was to keep him. And you know, we have to pray continually, don't we? That if we got a real religion, the Lord would keep us every moment. Keep us from ourselves. Keep us from the world. Keep us from bitter temptations. Keep us from Satan and his power. And we need keeping in many ways, don't we? We need keeping in our thoughts. You see, the Lord is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he sees the thoughts in your heart this morning and mine. And he knows what those thoughts are. They're all known to him. Whether they're good thoughts or evil thoughts. The brethren there, they thought evil of Joseph. And the Lord saw it. But you see, the Lord had a wonderful purpose in it all, ordering it all. And because of Joseph standing firm and not falling into the temptation, the Lord kept him. Potiphar's wife was angry, and when she told her husband, what does he do? Cast him into the prison. Now he has to go into that step, you see. It wasn't what he would choose, was it? Or you would choose, or I would choose. Cast into prison. But this was all ordered, you see, by the Lord. He wasn't there by chance, was it? We're favoured to read, and you can read it at your leisure through the book of Genesis, how wonderfully the Lord put him in that prison. It wasn't just them or Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. It was the Lord's doings. He'd ordered it. But it was a step that carnal reason couldn't understand. But you see, the Lord knew the days of famine were going to come. Oh, he did. And he sent him down there, what do we read, to preserve life. And there in that prison, how wonderfully it was ordered by the Lord, the steps of a good man. If ever there was a good man, Joseph was. He was a beautiful type, you know, of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, he was. And you think, if you go through Joseph's life and the places he was brought into, it's very similar to the dear Lord Jesus. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation, but go back to Joseph in the prison. You think of the dreams that the butler and the baker had. And how, and I read it this morning at home, what does he say when they came to him? Interpretations belong unto God. We sing it in that beautiful hymn of William Cowper's, don't we? God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And you look in the life of dear Joseph, and how wonderfully the Lord was to make it plain in it all. And it may be things you're in this morning you cannot understand, and you can't understand how you feel or why you're such, or why the Lord has brought you into this or that or something else. Interpretations belong unto God. And you look how he interpreted the butler and the baker's dreams, and how that was all brought to fruition, exactly what he said. But then dear Joseph thought, well, I've interpreted the dreams, and the butler will speak well of me and I shall be released. But no. What do we read? He had to spend another 2 full years, not part years, 4 years in that prison. And it was all ordered. Because in those 2 years, you see, Pharaoh had the dreams. And he goes to Joseph, it has been told me that thou canst interpret dreams. But what did dear Joseph say? It's a wonderful word, really. It is not in me. Not in me. God shall give unto Pharaoh an answer of peace. And you know, that's a lesson, and I have to learn it painfully. It's not in me. And if you've got a real religion, poor soul, that's what the Lord will continually teach you. It's not in me. But everything that you need is in your God, and that's why you have to continually go to him for direction, for comfort, for help, for encouragement, all that you need. The steps of a good man are ordered. I cannot get away from that word. They're ordered, you say. What do we hope to sing at the close? Order my footsteps by thy word. And this is what you desire, poor soul. He would order the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But then Pharaoh's dreams, he wonderfully interpreted. There would be those years of prosperity, but they were set over the years of adversity, the years of famine. And what was the fourth P he came into? Pharaoh's palace. Everything was put into the hands of Joseph in all Egypt. And you look how beautifully was a type of the dear Redeemer. Those brethren that so hated him, would have destroyed him if they had their way. They have to come to him and fall down as he saw in that dream. They would fall down before him. And what does he say? I remember preaching from it, and some of you do here, the last Lord's Day, that our late beloved friend Marcus Banfield was at this chapel. And he said to me in the car park before he left to go to Holland, he said, you know, I've got something to think about while we're away. And what was the text? Bring these men home. Well, in the sovereignty of God, the Lord did bring him home into glory. Bring these men home. And these Joseph haters and Joseph murderers were to be brought to fall before Joseph. But you look how wonderfully the Lord had ordered it, you see. They were men that were hard and rebellious, hated him. And by nature, that's just what man does of the Lord Jesus. But if we're his children, he'll bring us to fall at his dear feet. And he brought them, didn't he, down into Egypt because of the famine. It was all ordered. That famine didn't come by chance in the land of Canaan. The Lord had ordered it. And he was to bring them down there, just as they were. And you look how wonderfully Joseph, because all was in his hand. What did Pharaoh say to all the Egyptians, not to some of them? Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. The Lord had ordered it, you see. So those of you that may have got burdens and concerns and trials, maybe providential, maybe in your soul, what an exhortation, isn't it? Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. But go unto Joseph. Don't take it anywhere else, but unto him. Think of what the hymn writer said. Thou art come into a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his power and love are such, that none can ever ask too much. And you think how wonderfully the Lord provided for those brethren and Father Israel back in Canaan, all that they needed. The sacks full of corn, the money returned. But you think of this too. How many times they had to go back to Joseph. And what a lesson there is there, isn't it? How many times do you have to go back to the heavenly Joseph with your sins, with your burdens, with your concerns? They had to go back many times, you know. Oh, they did. And the Lord ordered it to bring them back to him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When he orders your steps, poor soul, he'll make you resign to those steps, submissive to them. Oh, yes. Or if you look in the case of Joseph, you know the things were hard, painful to the flesh and to the carnal mind, but you see, the Lord made him willing to endure it all. Why? Because that his soul would be prospered. If ever a man was prospered, Joseph was. But look what he had to go through. Think of what Hezekiah said, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Can you look back this morning and see those steps that he's all ordered for you? You may not better see it yet, but the day will come like it was with Joseph when he could see. It was all ordered. What are we saying? My Jesus hath done all things well. And when you can see how he orders the steps, you're about to be able to say, he hath done all things well. It was all for your soul's good, for your soul's teaching, but above everything, for the honour and glory of God. For his praise, you see. And the Lord will have his dear people praise him. And it's only they that ever will really praise him. Oh yeah. There's a good desire in the hymn, isn't it? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore. And oh, that we may be enabled to do it. The steps then of a good man. And you think of the steps of Joseph. They were all ordered. And if nothing this morning, may the Lord wonderfully come to your poor heart and you young ones and say, Lord, but do order my steps. Don't leave me to walk alone. Don't leave me to walk in sparks of my own kindred. Order my steps. And it's sweet, you know, when you can see how he is ordering them. And you think of how it was all ordered that Father Israel should come down into Egypt to see Joseph. The Lord had ordered it. When they returned to their father, the brethren, they said, the man spake roughly unto us. They didn't know him, you see. that they were to be brought to know him. He that they'd so hated and so rebelled against, but had to fall before him. And you think of Father Israel, when they came to take away Benjamin, you see, look at the wisdom there was in Joseph and how it was all ordered. He inquired of them, of their father, and they said, we have one at home, the youngest, Benjamin. And he required of them to bring him down there. But what did Father Israel say? Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And now they've come to take away Benjamin. All these things are against me. But you know, it was all ordered. Father Israel was to yet praise his God. And you go into chapter 45, I often mention it, but you know, it's a wonderful account. When Father Israel saw the wagons coming from Egypt to fetch him. The Lord had ordered these wagons, you know. They hadn't come by chance to fetch him. And what did he say? And we read this. And Israel said, it is enough. He was overwhelmed by the blessing. It is enough. You know, there are two sides of it is enough. There was the side where he felt everything was against him, and he said, Lord, it is enough. I cannot take any more. And there are times where you feel that. It may be there's one here in the depths, you see, and you think, well, it is enough. I can't take any more the sorrow, the distress. But you see, the Lord had brought him into that place to bring him up out of it, and he might prove the wonders God alone could do. And then you see the other side where it is in chapter 45, where he was full of the blessing. It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go down into Egypt to see him before I die. You know, the dear man was full of the blessing of the Lord. That's a wonderful place to be found in. It is enough. Overwhelmed by the blessing. He hadn't yet seen Joseph. But what one of the old preachers used to say this, and it's very real, really. He said he had the evidence the Lord was on his way in the matter. And you know, if you look through the Word of God, you can think of another wonderful case, and I must leave it because of the time, but you think of dear Hannah, when Eli said to her, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. Her countenance was no more sad. She hadn't got her Samuel, but she got the evidence the Lord was on his way in the matter. And that's a wonderful place, you know. And it may be in your providential pathway and in your soul, you may say, well, faith in me believes the Lord will appear. But when you have something like that, like Father, Israel had the wagons coming, the evidence the Lord was on his way. Hannah, with what Eli said to her, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that was asked of him. The Lord was on his way. And oh, may we in this dark and solemn day see the Lord on his way to us, ordering our steps that we might be able to praise and bless his holy name. Well, the time's gone. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text. I've nothing that I've rambled around this morning.